Very well. I got the thumbs up from Olivia, meaning we're free to preach now. Turn your Bibles with me this afternoon to Isaiah chapter 59. For today, I actually wanted to come back once more, actually, to the message I preached last week about the errors of John Calvin and Company's covenant theology, since some questions did come up last week that I really need to address more fully. But instead, I have to return today to the topic that I touched on at our last midweek meeting. So I have a message today actually on the return of the big lie. The return of the big lie and what we should do about it. The big lie that I refer to at present, of course, being the COVID-19 narrative that is being pushed most relentlessly and diabolically by the controlled media. And since unless a lie is exposed and confessed as a lie, one lie is never enough. It always leads to another lie and another to try to prop it up as truth. And so now we have the latest so-called Delta variant lie for which the powers that be say we must all get a vaccine because it's allegedly more contagious than the other. And so it looks like we'll probably be going back into a lockdown prison planet mode soon this fall. I do my best, I think as you guys know, to stay balanced with the messages I bring from the pulpit and that I preach, try to preach what this church needs to hear from the Bible. And while this is not a current events ministry, so-called, at the same time, I do want everyone here to be informed and warned so we can react biblically to the various serious things that are going on and that are taking place in our world. There are many chapters in the Old Testament books of prophecy that were, of course, written to ancient Israel, that describe the apostasy and the declension that Israel had fallen to in the days of those prophets, but that could also almost have been written word for word about modern-day America. Isaiah 59 is one of those chapters, and it could also just as well have been written to describe conditions that currently exist in Britain, Canada, and most certainly in Britain's prison colony of Australia, and perhaps actually in every other nation in what is now this globally integrated world that we are living in, and to which the big lie has now returned with a vengeance, courtesy of what's obviously a globally controlled media machine. We read in Isaiah 59, beginning at verse 1, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." That certainly applies to America today, where there's a lot of preachers forecasting a great revival in the land. I don't see it. God could do that. But America's iniquities have separated America from who America used to call its God. Verse 3, "For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice's eggs and weave the spider's web." And by the way, what a tangled web they weave when they practice to deceive. Amen. "He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their web shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands." That's true today of our government leaders, may I say. "Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace." Why? Because there is no peace for the wicked, saith my God. Isaiah writes elsewhere. "Therefore is judgment far from us. Neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness." Well, that's because America has rejected the light. And when you reject the light, God sends darkness. "We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far from off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us. As for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, seeking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Verse 14 says, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Equity is fairness. Truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. As is true now in America today of those that depart from this wicked vaccine. Then we read, and the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. Truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. And he that departeth from evil maketh himself prey. The Nazi German dictator of the 1930s and 40s, Adolf Hitler, is quoted as having made the following statements. The great masses of the people will more easily fall victims to a big lie than to a small one. He said, if you tell a big enough lie and tell it frequently enough, it will be believed. Make the lie big, make it simple. Keep saying it, and eventually they will believe it. Hitler said it was, in fact, the Jews who used that big lie strategy to bring about Germany's defeat in World War I. But the truth is that that claim itself was the big lie that Hitler himself used, aided by his propaganda minister, Joseph Goebbels, to turn the German people against the Jews and justify the Holocaust. Goebbels and the Nazi Party actually used the big lie propaganda technique that they described to turn long-standing anti-Semitism in Europe into mass murder, basically. The Nazis' big lie was to depict Germany as an innocent, besieged country striking back at so-called international Jewry. They repeated over and over the lie that Viennese Jews had consorted with foreign Jews that held the real political power behind the scenes in Britain, Russia, and the United States, and that they had begun a war of extermination against Germany. This was the big lie. And they used these claims to assert that Germany actually had a right to annihilate the Jews as self-defense. In his book, A Personal Manifesto, titled Mein Kampf, written in 1925, Hitler claimed that this technique of the big lie was used by European Jews to blame Germany's loss in World War I on a German general and a hero of Hitler, who was also a prominent nationalist political leader. On this issue, and translated into English, Hitler wrote as follows in this book. All this was inspired by the principle, which is quite true within itself, that in the big lie, there is always a certain force of credibility, because the broad masses of a nation are always more easily corrupted in the deeper strata of their emotional nature than consciously or voluntarily. And thus, in the primitive simplicity of their minds, they more readily fall victims to the big lie than the small lie, since they themselves often tell small lies in little matters, but would be ashamed to resort to large-scale falsehoods. Well, Hitler wasn't ashamed to do that, nor are our government leaders today. He said it would never come into their heads to fabricate colossal untruths. This is written in Mein Kampf. And they would not believe others could have the impudence to distort the truth so infamously. Make your lie big, he said. Even though the facts which prove this to be so may be brought clearly to the mind, even though people try to tell them the truth, like we're doing today, they will still doubt and waver and will continue to think there may be some other explanation. For the grossly impudent lie always leaves traces behind it, even after it has been nailed down, a fact which is known to all expert liars in this world and to all who conspire together in the act of lying, as Hitler and his comrades did. And so this strategy was used by the Nazis to claim it was the strategy of the Jews to turn public sentiment against the Jews and ultimately to annihilate them. And it is the very same strategy as being used even as we speak by the globalist-controlled media machine in America and indeed the world over to turn public sentiment against a new class of marked public enemies, the unvaccinated, that wretched subclass of conspiracy theorists who claim the World Health Organization's entire COVID-19 narrative is a big lie and who therefore see the vaccines that are being relentlessly pushed upon humanity by every government and government-controlled media outlet as being not only wholly unnecessary, but also wholly dangerous to human health and survival. Just like the German people that bought into Hitler's lies and assisted in rounding up Jews to be sent to concentration camps, so today in our land, as Hitler said, more for emotional reasons than rational, the majority of the people in this nation will not let themselves believe that all the major media outlets could possibly be united and conspiring together and propagating a lie so colossal as has been forced upon us over the course of the last year regarding this alleged pandemic. Same exact big lie strategy. But as a growing body of data and proof continues to show, and far more than I have time to go into today, this whole charade has been a huge, colossal, global fraud. We've already covered the hyperinflated case numbers of alleged COVID infections, all of which we know were based on a faulty PCR test that was calibrated to produce false positive results. We've looked at the hyperinflated number of deaths attributed to the alleged pandemic, all of which was fomented to produce mass hysteria and fear so that the panicked public would get in line with their masks on to get their injections. What's that? To get them to think emotionally. That's exactly right, to act on their emotions. In addition to that, to all that we've covered before, I want to bring a supplement today to the update that I brought you last week. First, I want to quote a brief section from a very long article. This is how Joel Skousen opened last week's World Affairs Brief. Opened with these words: "The establishment is clearly preparing America for another lockdown this fall and winter. There is a coordinated wave of propaganda hitting television audiences everywhere, claiming, quote, COVID cases are on the rise, and 99% of those affected are unvaccinated. Joel says nothing could be further from the truth. So-called cases are still based on the bogus PCR test, and hardly anyone testing positive has any symptoms, including the poor, uninformed Olympic athletes in Tokyo that have now lost their chance to compete over this evil test, even when they have no symptoms and were all vaccinated. While it's irrelevant if those tested positive are unvaxxed or vaxxed, because the test isn't valid. The actual hospitalizations and deaths attributed to COVID are still at least half from vaccinated people, proving the vaccine isn't effective. And perhaps worse, many are dying not from COVID but from the vaccine itself, which proves it isn't safe either. All of these are being labeled as COVID deaths." He says later in the article, "Even though the creation of the enhanced SARS-2 virus was engineered in a lab via Anthony Fauci's NIH funding, either before or after it was given to China where it would escape due to sloppy protocols at the Wuhan lab, the virus," Joel writes, "wasn't the main weapon. It isn't deadly enough to qualify as a true bioweapon, even though it was engineered. He said the virus merely provided the excuse to drive the world into an exaggerated pandemic so that a very bad gene therapy, so-called vaccine, could be created as the so-called solution to this crisis. Joel says it's the vaccine that is the real bioweapon." By the way, that's confirmed by a very well-established doctor as well, I'm going to tell you about. "In short, all the hype about variants resurging is aimed at getting more people to take the vaccine. It's all just a continuation of the big lie." He said, "Keep this in mind as all the restrictions slowly come back, as well as the increased hassles imposed on those who refuse the vaccine." By the way, they're now saying that NFL athletes are going to lose, what, $14,000 per game or something like that if they don't take the vaccine. He said, "Be prepared to resist and not comply," which I couldn't agree more. He writes, Sam Feist, CNN's Washington Bureau Chief and the network's Senior Vice President, said this week in a leaked internal email. CNN is the organization that is most broadly pushing the vaccine and labeling the unvaccinated as America's enemies. CNN's Washington Bureau Chief and the network's Senior Vice President said this week in a leaked internal email that was also mistakenly sent to conservative activist Charlie Kirk that the carrots used to entice people to take the vaccine are no longer working. He said, quote, authorities need to start using the stick. The carrots aren't working, they got to start using the stick. He didn't specify what that meant, but the stick, Joel writes, will likely start with more hassles like frequent testing for anyone and banning entry to venues, unless you have a vaccine passport, which is going on all over the world now, starting with sports events, businesses, and flights. So that, of course, is taking place. Just 5 days ago, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson announced that in the UK, vaccine passports will be required in order to gain access to nightclubs and other venues where large crowds gathered. In response to which, rock legend Eric Clapton, who was seriously injured by an AstraZeneca COVID vaccine, he announced that he will cancel any concerts where vaccines are required. Good for him. He also recently teamed up with Van Morrison to produce a protest song against all this. Australia is going back to full lockdown mode, and there are thousands of people in the streets in Australia protesting all the COVID restrictions there. It's now all over the media that the Jesuit doctor, Anthony Fauci, like Hitler's Dr. Joseph Mengele, used his position with the National Institute of Health both to fund and to facilitate the so-called gain-of-function research at UNC Chapel Hill and also in Wuhan, China. This is the technology that produced the so-called virus that was engineered and patented to make sure that it could infect humans. Now we hear that Senator Rand Paul, God bless him, has referred Fauci to the DOJ to be brought up on criminal charges for lying to Congress and saying he did not fund that research. And so Ron Paul's son, is now basically our only advocate in the Congress. But as Joel Skousen said, the real fact of the matter is that the so-called virus itself is not the real bioweapon. The real bioweapons are the vaccines. A court in Lisbon, Portugal, has determined that only 0.9% of the verified cases actually died of COVID, numbering 152 in Portugal, not the 17,000 claimed. The European Union has reported that through June 19 of 2021, there have been 1.5 million vaccine injuries and over 15,000 deaths. Yesterday, I took time to watch a part of a Stu Peters show that a brother sent me a link to. Hadn't heard of Stu Peters before. I was very impressed. He has a channel on Rumble there. And in this presentation, he interviewed a Dr. Peter A. McCullough, MD. McCullough is a highly acclaimed professor of medicine at Texas A&M College of Medicine, Baylor Dallas campus. He is president of the Cardiorenal Society of America. He is editor-in-chief of Cardiorenal Medicine magazine. He's also editor-in-chief of Reviews in Cardiovascular Medicine publication. He is senior associate editor of the American Journal of Cardiology. He's a bigwig. All right. Dr. McCullough is an internist. He's a cardiologist, epidemiologist, who maintains ABIM certification in internal medicine and cardiovascular diseases. He's not a quack. All right. He is an authority. He's a medical authority. I could go on with his accolades and go on and on and on. I think I'll skip that because this message is going to be long enough. I'll go skip down about halfway through these things. Dr. McCullough has 46 peer-reviewed publications on the infection, COVID-19. He has commented extensively on the medical response to the COVID-19 crisis in The Hill and on Fox News. On November 19 last year, Dr. McCullough testified on this subject in the U.S. Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs. And throughout this year, he is also testified in the Texas Senate Committee on Health and Human Services, in the Colorado General Assembly, and the New Hampshire Senate concerning many aspects of the pandemic response. Why? Because he is an authority. He has served on many drug safety, monitoring, and clinical review boards. He knows how vaccines are supposed to be monitored and tested. At first, Dr. McCullough was actually an advocate of the vaccines, saying that the products looked effective in trials with 90% efficacy, although there were initially some non-serious reactions in the arm during the test, but there were no systemic effects, he said. But now, as very serious systemic problems are emerging, as having been caused by the vaccine, he says, quote, "This is far and away the most lethal, toxic, biologic agent to ever be injected into a human body in American history." As of January 22nd, 21, just where he works at Baylor in Dallas, there were already 186 deaths from the vaccine as of January 22nd, shortly after it came out. He said only 25 people died from the swine flu vaccine, and that program was shut down immediately. Now, the CDC acknowledges 12,000 deaths from the vaccine, which, by the way, is more than all the deaths from all vaccines for the last 22 years. While the actual number of deaths in just the U.S. is quite possibly over four times that amount, around 50,000 deaths from this vaccine. He said 5% of those deaths have occurred within 48 hours of injection, 80% within a week. And he also says that the vaccine is the cause of death in the majority of those cases. The vaccine, he said, causes cells to produce the dangerous spike protein, which itself can be damaging to organs. It can attack organs, actually, within the body. He also said once this spike protein is produced, then white blood cells can attack the cells which have produced the foreign spike protein, and it can produce an autoimmune response problem, a serious autoimmune response to attack organs within the body. Last month, the same Dr. McCullough released a video that one article said, quote, "blows the lid off the medical establishment's complicity in the unnecessary deaths of tens of thousands of Americans." The article is titled, quote, "Dr. Peter McCullough, whistleblowers inside CDC claim injections have already killed 50,000 Americans." Whistleblowers inside the CDC. Dr. Peter McCullough said these deaths have been facilitated by a false narrative bent on pushing an all-new, unproven vaccine for a disease that was highly treatable. He said COVID is a bioweapon and the vaccines present phase two of that bioweapon. Dr. McCullough says that. The virus was a bioweapon and the vaccines are phase two of that bioweapon. McCullough talking says, "As this, in a sense, bioterrorism phase one was rolled out, it was really all about keeping the population in fear and in isolation and preparing them to accept the vaccine, which appears to be phase two of a bioterrorism operation," McCullough said in a June 11th webinar with German attorney Rainer Fuhlmich and several other doctors who are preparing a lawsuit internationally against the whole establishment. He noted, quote, "both the respiratory virus and the vaccine delivered to the human body, the spike protein, the gain-of-function target of this bioterrorism research." McCullough said, "Now, I can't come out and say all this on national TV or at any time," he continued, "but what we learned over time is that we could no longer communicate with government agencies. We actually couldn't even communicate with our own propagandized colleagues in major medical centers, all of which appear to be under a spell, almost as if they are hypnotized right now." He did not hold back in his criticism of his colleagues. He said, "And doctors, good doctors are doing unthinkable things like injecting biologically active messenger RNA that produces this pathological spike protein into pregnant women." But I think when doctors wake up in their trance, they're going to be shocked to think what they've done to people. "The first wave of the bioterrorism is a respiratory virus that spread across the world and affected relatively few people, about 1% of many populations, but generated great fear." Great fear. He said the virus targeted primarily people over 50. It poses almost no risk to children. He said 85% of the more than 600,000 U.S. deaths could have been prevented with a multi-drug treatment given in the early to midpoint of the disease. He has developed alternate remedies for this, et cetera, et cetera. I'm going to skip some of this article. He says the vast majority of doctors jumped in lockstep to follow these erroneous guidelines handed down by the World Health Organization and the U.S. Centers for Disease Control, the CDC. Those guidelines neglected to place any focus on the treatment of sick patients, and from the beginning, as early as April 2020, started emphasizing the need for a vaccine as the only real hope of beating back the virus. I mentioned that way back then, back in March and April last year, I mentioned that. They're going directly to this vaccine. The Federal Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, VAERS, logged 5,993 reports of deaths of people injected with the COVID vaccine between December 14th and June 11th. That's more than all the deaths reported to VAERS from all other vaccines that combined over the last 22 years. It's still the doctor talking. But these numbers, as shocking as they are, don't scratch the surface of the actual number of dead Americans, said McCullough. Quote, we have now a whistleblower inside the CMS, and we have two whistleblowers in the CDC. I think we have 50,000 dead Americans, 50,000 deaths. So we actually have more deaths due to the vaccine per day than certainly the viral illness by far. It's basically propagandized bioterrorism by injection. McCullough added that every single thing that was done in public health response in response to the pandemic made it worse. He said the suppression of early COVID treatments such as hydroxychloroquine and especially ivermectin was tightly linked to the development of a vaccine. Why is that? Because, he says, without the suppression of the already available treatments, the government would not have been able to legally grant emergency use authorization to the three vaccines rushed to the market by Moderna, Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson. They had to shut down the alternate remedies, or they couldn't have got approval for these vaccines. In the case of Moderna, the U.S. government is a co-patent holder through the National Institutes of Health, a clear conflict of interests. That's Fauci's organization. He says, I published only two papers that teach doctors how to treat COVID-19 at home to prevent hospitalization and death. If treated early, it results in an 85% reduction in hospitalizations and death, McCullough said. He said, so not only were the vaccines rolled out unnecessarily by suppressing already available effective treatments, but the FDA and CDC are now covering up tragic numbers of deaths caused by their experimental mRNA injections. This is not a quack talking. And that's why he laid out his qualifications. That report was then followed by another article that was posted 3 days ago. I'm almost done with articles, okay? I want you to hear this. I want you to know what's going on out here. I could just talk and tell you these things, but these are my authorities I'm reading directly from, okay? This is an article that was published by Robert Kennedy Jr.'s organization, the Children's Health Defense Organization. It was published 3 days ago, July 22nd, titled Scientist Sounds Alarm, COVID Vaccines Producing Symptoms of Parkinson's, Other Neurodegenerative Disorders. July 22nd, 2021. As cases pile up, 445 as of July 9th, of the reportedly rare neurological disorder, which is Guillain-Barré syndrome, in people who received a COVID vaccine, forcing the sluggish U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, to add a warning label to the Johnson & Johnson shot, scientists are issuing urgent warnings about a possible tsunami of other types of neurological injuries. Immunologist J. Bart Clayson, one-time National Institutes of Health contract scientist, he worked for Fauci and proprietor of Claussen Immunotherapies, a Maryland biotechnology firm, published a paper in February outlining the potential for messenger RNA COVID vaccines to trigger development of prion diseases as well as other chronic diseases. Prion or prion-like diseases including Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, multiple system atrophy or MSA, and others. A hallmark of these neurodegenerative diseases is the formation and clustering of misfolded proteins within the nervous system. Clayson's February conclusions were based on analysis of RNA from the Pfizer injection. Now, Clayson has published a second paper on prion disease risk that draws on actual adverse event data from the UK following vaccination with the AstraZeneca or Pfizer COVID vaccines. AstraZeneca vaccines caused all kinds of problems in Europe. These data show the risk of neurodegenerative adverse events is far from theoretical. In fact, the AstraZeneca vaccine is already producing a safety signal for Parkinson's disease, and the Pfizer vaccine may not be far behind. Describing these findings as a clear signal of a specific prion disease, Parkinson's disease, Clayson notes the findings are biologically plausible because they are consistent with what is known about the pathogenic coronavirus spike protein. This article goes on and on. I could go on. Point is that these vaccines are highly dangerous. They're producing these neurodegenerative disorders, Parkinson's, people shaking, Guillain-Barré syndrome, very severe problems. And so then, the facts are in that these vaccines are extremely harmful and never should have been approved by the FDA in the first place, let alone the immunity from lawsuit that was given to the producers of these vaccines. But now at the same time, the big lie has returned with a vengeance for the purpose of continuing to push more lockdowns along with this obvious bioweapon on the global population. The lies continue to spew from the CDC and the media, relentlessly pushing the citizenry to get in line for these very dangerous vaccines. Last week, the CDC director himself published a lie that COVID-19 is, quote, becoming a pandemic of the unvaccinated. Lying and saying that 99% of new cases are the unvaccinated. That's a flat-out lie. One CNN article from July 14th was headlined, quote, "Young children will pay the price if enough U.S. adults don't get vaccinated against COVID-19, expert says, playing on emotions. We're going to blame the unvaccinated for children getting sick." The article said, "Children will likely pay the price for adults in the U.S. not getting vaccinated at high enough rates to slow or stop the spread of COVID-19. Which, by the way, these vaccines do not stop or slow the rate of COVID-19. They don't do anything to do that. All they do is cause people to get sick. CNN's Cooper Anderson interviewed the U.S. Surgeon General, and he asked him if the unvaccinated are a danger to their own children. And, of course, the answer was yes. Of course. And so those who are smart enough to open their eyes and look at the facts, and who, based on those facts, rightly determine that these vaccines are far more dangerous than the virus itself, which actually has a 99% survival rate, these are the ones being branded and ostracized as the culprits in our society, as the bad people, the menaces to society, who are endangering our children. And at the same time, now the Biden administration is doing all it can to stifle and silence the truth from being published. In my opinion, Joe Biden, Anthony Fauci, and everyone else in the government that is guilty of perpetrating this fraud should be tried for treason. And Rand Paul should ask the DOJ to bring mass murder charges against Anthony Fauci rather than mere perjury. There's much more I could say, and much more info available out there exposing the big lie itself. But for now, let's turn back to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. The prophet Isaiah wrote in about 700 B.C., verse 14, "And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey." That's as true in our day as it ever was in Isaiah's day, may I say. There are a few verses in the Bible that better describe conditions that prevail in the days in which we live. Then Isaiah says, "And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment or justice." As David wrote in Psalm 11 that we looked at last week, "The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men." Here Isaiah writes, "And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him." This verse speaks of none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who has himself become our intercessor, who brought his salvation to us and clothed us in his righteousness. John Gill says, historically, even the Jews have interpreted this verse and those that follow as referring to the coming Messiah. Verse 17 says, "For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and the helmet of salvation upon his head." Paul says in Ephesians 6, by the way, that we've been given that very same helmet of salvation and breastplate of righteousness, does he not? And Isaiah says, "And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and His glory from the rising of the sun. Again, that's just as David wrote in Psalm 11, where David said, "The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup," wrote David. But then Isaiah says this in verse 19, "When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." That standard refers to our battle flag, the gospel of Christ. We are at war here. We are engaged in a very real spiritual warfare for which we must maintain a proper perspective and stay properly armed and clad in the very same armor of God that Paul describes in Ephesians chapter 6, where he quotes there from this very section of Isaiah's prophecy. Paul says first in verse 14, Ephesians 6, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." Truth, by the way, which includes opening your eyes to both acknowledging and rejecting the big lies of the devil, may I add. Then Paul says, "Having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, marching there under the banner of the gospel, not only that Jesus saves from sin, which we have to be faithful to proclaim, but also that those who Jesus saves belong to Him and will not become the chattel property of the devil and his crowd pushing these vaccines." Paul says above all, verse 16, "Taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation," Isaiah talked about, "and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." And by the way, in that Word of God is where we find our marching orders, the words that we have to live by and be in obedience to if we are to find protection from the evil that surrounds us. Isaiah says, "When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." That is the banner that we are marching under. And then Isaiah says, "And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord." That day will come. But as the Lord Jesus said, it will come after a time of great tribulation, which time I believe this global, colossal lie of the staged, planned, orchestrated so-called pandemic is most certainly ushering to this planet. Turn to Revelation chapter 6. Many are asking if the great tribulation Jesus referred to has begun. To which I reply that since that term, great tribulation is defined by the 70th week of Daniel 9. Nope, not yet. Hasn't started yet. However, I do think, as we've covered before, I do believe that the first two seals we see in this chapter will precede and will precipitate the beginning of that period. We've covered this many times. I'm not going to go into detail. Just to quickly state that I do think it's possible that the first seal we see here may well have already been loosed. Verse 1, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." One person keeps posting comments to our YouTube videos proclaiming that this rider on the white horse refers to the coronavirus, since corona means crown. And to which I reply that these verses refer to the coronavirus no more than they refer to Corona beer or to Crown Royal Canadian whiskey, all right, or to a Ford Crown Victoria automobile. What these verses do refer to is the rise to prominence on the world stage of a man, the world ruler that we know as the Antichrist, a false Christ that will one day soon present another big lie to the world that may well be following on the heels of this present big lie. We read about that particular lie in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where we see that the lie published there globally is a lie that the Lord Himself allows to be brought upon this world to destroy those who refuse to believe His truth instead. Just as we read back in Isaiah, "When you reject the light, God sends darkness." We read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, Paul writes, "Now we beseech you, brethren, of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter us from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Verse 3 here, we know, shatters another big lie of the devil, that being the big lie of the pre-trib rapture. Paul says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. What day, Paul? The day just mentioned, verse 1 to 2. The day of Christ in verse 2. The day of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in verse 1 and of our gathering together unto him. All that means the rapture. Paul says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that's called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That has never been fulfilled in history, still yet to be fulfilled. Verse 9, Paul says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why? Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So verse 11 says, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they might all be damned, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The strong delusion Paul mentioned in this passage, that they should believe a lie, is the lie that this man, this very powerful world ruler, is the long-awaited Messiah and deliverer that will save them from the present distress. Such as many fools today still look to Donald Trump to make his comeback to accomplish, when it was none other than Donald Trump who brought this present distress upon the world. With the loosing of this first seal, that man rises to prominence on the world stage. And then at the loosing of the second seal, some form of global warfare is unleashed. We see here in verse 3 of Revelation 6. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. There went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. The global warfare we see here will, I believe, precipitate and set the stage for the commencement of that 70th week of Daniel 9, and may well refer to a world war that China has once again this past week made overt threats to start. As reported by Fox News 5 days ago, quote, the Chinese Communist Party aired a video in which it warned Japan of a nuclear response and full-scale war if the island nation interferes in China's handling of Taiwan. What's that mean? China's planning on invading Taiwan is what that means. The video, which appeared on a channel approved by the CCP, singles out Japan as the one exception to China's policy to not use nuclear weapons against non-nuclear powers. Why is that? There is a long-standing hatred in China against Japan because of the Manchurian War, and Japan slaughtered a bunch of Chinese people and they hate the Japanese. They said, we will use nuclear bombs first, the video said. We will use nuclear bombs continuously. We will do this until Japan declares unconditional surrender for the second time. This is last week China saying this. The CCP claims that it will liberate Taiwan, as if they want to be liberated. And it warns against Japan deploying one soldier, one plane, or one ship. The video was deleted from Chinese platform Xinhua after gaining 2 million views, but copies were uploaded to YouTube and Twitter, Taiwan News reported. The threats follow comments made 2 weeks ago by Japanese officials about Taiwan sovereignty, with Deputy Prime Minister Taro Aso saying that Japan must, quote, defend Taiwan, the Japan Times reported. Quote, if a major incident happened over Taiwan, it's safe to say it would be related to a situation threatening the survival of Japan. If that is the case, Japan and the U.S. must defend Taiwan together, Aso said. China Ministry of Foreign Affairs spokesman Zhao Lijian urged Japan to adjust its mentality over the issue. Obviously, China intends to take Taiwan, which in the past America always promised to defend and was always able to do so. I think things may have changed at this point in time. The conclusion for today is that the great tribulation Jesus spoke of was not fulfilled in AD 70 and has also not begun yet. The present big lie does not qualify as the loosing of the first seal, nor therefore are these vaccines quite yet the mark of the beast. However, the entire COVID-19 scam most certainly is the most colossal lie, and at that, the most successful, globally orchestrated colossal lie ever fomented in human history upon the population of the entire world, very well coordinated through a globally orchestrated media, for which only the Jesuits could have pulled off, as they have infiltrated every nation on earth for centuries. Through all the secret societies, that's right. The global COVID-19 scandemic is a big lie, and the real bioweapon here is the so-called vaccine, which is being pushed upon the world, not for its good, but for very evil purposes that we have yet to see what their purpose is and what the final results will be. In the meantime, for us, we have to uphold our banner, our battle flag of the gospel of Christ. We are at war. This is a very spiritual war in which we fight for truth. We have to arm ourselves for the battle. Talked about that. Christians are not called to bow down to the dictates of the likes of either Adolf Hitler, as German Christians, so-called Christians, citing Romans 13, said they had to do 80 years ago now. Nor are we called to bow down to the evil dictates of an evil government or its controlled mass media today, or to the public sentiment of a godless society. As a word of advice to you all, since Joe Biden is preparing to send out his teams of federal spies and snitches into neighborhoods to promote the devil's vaccine, I remind us that the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 10:16, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." So on this note, I do want to share briefly what I think is very good advice that Joel Skousen included in his latest World Affairs brief from last week. If and when Biden's teams of Nazi SS snitches come into our neighborhoods, if one knocks on your door, Joel gives this advice, which I think is wise. How to respond to COVID strike forces at your door. You have to be careful not to engage these volunteers in any meaningful conversation, which is certainly what I would want to do. He said, be careful not to do that. If they can justify it, they will report your house address to government health departments as unvaxxed, if you tell them that or if they suspect it. As soon as they announce who they are, without letting them get to any questions, just say, "I'm sorry, but I'm too busy to talk right now," and close the door, Joel says. Don't make any statements about vaccines or appear hostile to them, he's writing. Now, again, I would be tempted to do that, to preach to them, try to teach these people how stupid they are. That's what I would try to do. But I think this is great advice in this circumstance. This is great advice, I think. Jesus said, don't cast your pearls before swine, right? They'll trample them underfoot. So don't bother trying to teach these people anything. Just say, "I'm sorry, I'm too busy right now to talk, and close the door. So don't make any statements about vaccines or appear hostile to them. And then Joel says this, don't lie and say you've had the vaccination. That will invite them to respond with more questions about where or when, from whom. If they ring again, he says, don't answer. They'll just leave a tag on your doorknob inviting you to get vaccinated. I think that's good advice. And so far, the vaccines are voluntary, since they've only been approved for emergency use. However, as soon as the FDA gives them general approval, I do believe the government will mandate these things for us all. They have the Supreme Court precedent to do so from whenever it was that they had Spanish flu epidemic back then. So these things will be mandated, I do believe, eventually and maybe soon. Because of which and for which the media is now on its all-out campaign to marginalize the unvaccinated and make us appear to be public enemy number one, just like Hitler did the Jews during the 1930s. But we'll cross that bridge of vaccine mandates when we come to it, or perhaps we'll blow the bridge. Today, we need to remember that we are at war. As David said in Psalm 11, the wicked are indeed bending their bows against us. They make ready their arrow upon the string that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart, David said. To which we can respond just as David did. In the Lord put I my trust. How say you to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? Or if the foundations be destroyed, there's nothing we can do. If our trust, again, is in the Lord, then our house is built on a sure foundation that cannot be destroyed. All we need to do is lift high our banner and sing our battle song. And as go the lyrics of that great hymn, "Lead On, O King Eternal," which we'll do and which we'll sing after a closing prayer. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, give us boldness and courage to proclaim the truth in this hour of lies and deception and darkness. Help us, Lord, to be a light in a dark place. We are called to be the light of the world, a city set on a hill. Help us, Lord God, to be bold and courageous in proclaiming your word today. And we just thank you for the encouragement that your word gives us. Thank you for this great sword of the Spirit that we have in the word of God. We love you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.